Welcome, everyone. This is Sasha, sashatalks.com. Thank you for joining me on BBS Radio. Today, we're going to cover a topic that may be common among those in the business world. At the same time, if you love to read, it also may be a term that you've heard of in social culture. We're going to cover silent leadership. Keep in mind that I will cover the topic for the sake of time, topically, and all content shared adheres to the terms of service and disclaimers of sashatalks.com. For those who have heard about silent leadership, it has to do more with leading by example, putting more emphasis on actions than words. It is a style of leadership that may be perceived to be more subtle, where individuals lead by example, and there's more emphasis put on empowering team members, individuals who belong to a group, and they're all contributing collectively as a team. And through that, you get to foster different variations of collaboration. The one thing about silent leadership is you do not rely on those traditional, perceived, archaic norms of authority, where you see people posturing a certain way through their actions, through their demeanor, through their presentation. They're not engaging in any explicit display of speech, where it's very clear of who's an authority and who is engaging in submissiveness. I could do a whole separate segment on submission because there is wisdom in being submissive. Of course, context matters. Now, with silent leadership, one of the qualities that it does emphasize has to do with humility, empathy. And I noticed among my piles of reading case studies, books, articles, there's a lot of talk about empathy that has surfaced in the last 6, 7 years. And I believe more so during the onset of the past tense pandemic. A lot of people started paying attention to how are people being managed, whether you're managing them in the office or you're managing them in a remote setting. What type of leadership style do you host? Keep in mind, there's no right or wrong leadership style, but obviously there are going to be different forms that are more effective based off your personality, your professional objective, and the type of work that you do. And silent leadership is relevant for whether you work for a third-party organization or you work for yourself, which is why it is encouraged to reflect upon what type of leader are you. There's always been a debate about whether leaders are born or whether they're made. I believe most of them are made, very few are born. It is a characteristic that could be cultivated within you. It doesn't matter whether you're a five-year-old leader, children lead. They don't realize that they're not intellectualizing it. There are students in their academic careers. They might be silent leaders or they might be overt leaders. And I know that when you reach different phases of your life, there are various types of leadership that are celebrated. You don't have to have an occupation. You could be a day-to-day civilian. There's many different types of leaders that are made, and they exist in every corner of the world. They exist in your home. They exist in your office. They might also exist in your social circle, but you never look at it that way. It is a characteristic that could be applied in your career path, in your social circle, in your personal life, how you engage with life around you through your community endeavors. And this is something that works for yourself. And the more you invest in learning about who you are, I believe you could become even a better leader. Now, one thing about silent leadership I should shine light on has to do with presence. Presence matters. And there's two types of presence for the sake of simplicity right now. One has to do with, which is very overt. You could see it, you could hear it, you could feel it, you could sense it. Then there's the communication. Some people make their presence known through how they communicate, what they communicate. And then there are those that could walk into a room, not say a word, and everyone there will know someone is in the room and what that person is bringing with them in terms of energy. How do you move? And I've noticed this on men and women, and I find it fascinating through the work of Sasha Talks with the number of people I've interviewed. Even male executives have confessed to me that they pay attention to their physical movements. And there is wisdom in learning how to become fluid in your movement, whether you're a man or a woman, This has nothing to do with being any type of gender. It has to do with being human. That there are male executives that I've crossed paths with who will take dance lessons because it helps them with movement. Then there are people who will engage in playing sports. One common theme is that they are exercising different parts of their body. They're emotionally investing in activity, whether they're learning, giving it a try, or they love it. They're mentally engaged. And also physically, it demands a certain degree of investment in their flexibility, in their mobility. And all of that plays a role in how they package themselves when they're leading, when they're managing, when they're honoring different roles in their family, professionally, socially. And that's why I think reflecting upon how you move makes sense, because how you move is also correlated with how you speak. Some people are very fluid communicators, and then there are those that may not have a need to communicate outside of their day-to-day circle, that they only engage in their comfort zones. So extending yourself is part of the self-development. And I think silent leadership demands a certain part of us to go out and make a difference, but make a difference from inside out. Now, the objective here would be for us to understand, generally speaking, that everybody has the power to tap within their inner leader. Leaders are made, in my opinion, very few are born, and everyone has something valuable to contribute. This is about adding value in your life, the life of people that you care about, and in the community. This is not about feeding the optics of what people think. Too many people spend time posturing to imply a certain image out there. And believe it or not, I believe 8 out of 10 times people aren't even paying attention, or they call you out knowing that it's not authentic. So here are some of the misconceptions of silent leadership for anyone who doesn't come from the business world or even within the commercial fields. You might think the name itself is deceptive. Silent must mean that there's something deceptive going on, or it's condescending. How could you be leading and not let other people know? This has nothing to do with secrecy. This has to do with the energy and the strategic leadership that you bring before an environment of people. Because if you're going to lead, you might be leading yourself forward, but there's the other leadership where you have a headcount of at least one person outside of you whom you may be leading. Silent does not mean that you are weak. It should not imply any form of weakness in your managerial style or leadership style. And silent doesn't mean that you're not being heard, because there are plenty of people that I cross paths with in the business world that run their mouths. And it gets to a point where I have to struggle to stay awake, because many people could talk and run their mouth, but they might not be saying anything. So this is not about being heard, but this is about being present in a way where not only are you heard strategically, but you're being led. Now, some characteristics of silent leadership have to do with embodying quiet confidence, where that there's the inner self-assurance and inner knowing of guiding yourself forward. This is not about being aggressive, assertive, engaging in control issues, because you have to be seen, you have to be heard, you have to be the loudest, you have to be also the loudest visually speaking. Most people, if you pay attention, you could tell through the energy and how they appear. And I'm not talking about in a superficial sense. I'm talking about just energetically and how they're packaging themselves. When there's a standard deviation there, you know that there are possibly complex issues that they need to work off of. And confidence is different than being arrogance. People misconstrue these terms. Not a lot of people, but there are people who misconstrue them. Arrogance comes from a place of low self-esteem, not high self-esteem. Because if you have a healthy high self-esteem, you would not engage in those tacky behaviors that people engage in when they're arrogant, because low self-esteem also breeds insecurities. So we're focusing on confidence. And one of the ways of developing confidence and refining it, because it's not as once you get to the destination, your confidence will not waver. We're human beings. We're always going to be in an ebb and a flow. It has to do with whatever you want to develop confidence in. The more that you do it, the better you become at it. But at the same time, the more you do it, it instills the self-assurance that you can do better and continue doing better. The second thing has to do with empowerment. It is a characteristic that not only do you get to encourage other people to do well, guide them, it could come through mentoring. At the same time, you want to make sure that when you're guiding people, you're encouraging them to take accountability of their speech and their actions and their decision. Typically, decisions precede the actions. Because with silent leadership, it will come down to the team doing exceptionally well than just one individual. While you do want to nurture their independence, you also want to stress that everyone is working collectively as a team. Silent leadership should not be perceived to be something that is so cold and isolating, when in fact it is completely the opposite. It's like forming a circle and people are coming around it. One of the things that silent leaders are good at doing is active listening. And this is something that I've spoken about, I've blogged about, I've written about, and I've also been interviewed on commenting on active listening. It was a few years ago that I heard from a professional saying that when you hear from your ears, and when you listen from the heart. And I know that listening does take more effort for me. And of course, the more you do it, you become better at it. There's a lot of active listening that takes place, which means that when a person is speaking, you're listening to what they're saying and you're not anticipating what you should say before they're done even commenting on a matter. Because if you don't understand what they're saying, how will you know that what you're going to say next is even aligned with addressing a solution or just having a respectful conversation? Now, here's one that I have observed. Some people do really well with it, and then some people, I would like to believe they're a work in progress because most of us are. Has to do with humility, that the silent leaders, they avoid being demanding and recognizing that you have to give me the credit and you're not going to be successful unless I'm successful first. And I'm sure for those who work out there, you might have instances, regardless of your occupation, where you might be working for a boss who may end up taking credit for your work. That wouldn't be quite a silent leader. And addressing the most obvious term in that leadership that describes it, silence. Learning to understand how to exercise silence, when to be silent and when to speak, when to make your presence known, because it gives everybody an opportunity to think, reflect upon what is being said around them, and then they could decide if they want to contribute, and if they do, how are they going to contribute to the conversation, which leads to communication. There are many different types of communication. Of course, when you want to be an effective leader, I would like to believe that leaders are going to put more emphasis on meaningful communication, that you make each word count, whether you're saying it verbally or you're putting it in writing. You don't want to saturate your communication to the point where people start ignoring what you're saying, what you're writing. You want to be intentful, and your message should have a purpose. If you take it one step beyond meaningful, if it's meaningful, most of the time it's also mature communication where there is respect. And at the same time, you leave room, you're holding space for people to come and engage. Now, one of the benefits of silent leadership has to do with team building. You're stronger in numbers than working independently most of the time. I know there are people out there who engage in occupations that rely solely on being independent, and there's nothing wrong with that. That is why I'm talking about this on a topical level. Communication can improve if it is being monitored in a good way, making sure that people remain on topic. People have an opportunity to engage. Not everybody may want to engage. It might come down to the nature of their role, their personality, their comfort level. This is not something that you implement overnight and everybody will be on board. We do know with changes, when you choose to change, people respond well. But if the change is imposed upon you, It's just human nature for people to resist. And one of the ways of helping them overcome the resistance has to do with educating them of what the change is, why is it happening, how will it benefit them. And realistically, I often tell those that I mentor in leadership that don't expect everyone to get on board in order for you to make a decision. Focus on the objective, what the change is, and how it is supposed to impact people in the short term and the long term. Don't treat it like you're going to let your 3-year-old make decisions in the house and you call that leadership. And then fast forward 20 years down the road and you wonder how come your kid turned out a tad bit different than how you anticipated parenting. You have to remember who's in the driver's seat. There's a time and place for that. And who are the passengers going for the ride? And especially when you're leading third parties, most of them are going to be cognizant of how the door works. You could always get out and not partake in it, and that's fine. But obviously, every decision that we make, whether it's in life or business, has ramifications for better or worse. And keep in mind, silent leadership has nothing to do with leading with fear or instilling fear. It has to do with more so engagement and openness to bring people together. Speaking of bringing people together, it also instills and allows room for greater innovation. And that's a place where you bounce around ideas, brainstorming, and one aspect of innovation that comes to mind immediately is startup companies. There were so many great products and services out there in the market. They all started out in some shape and form. They may have not been a byproduct of silent leadership, but think about it. Innovation is a byproduct of so many different forms of management and leadership out there. And when you bring people together, you want to have a positive objective. One of those objectives can be problem solving. You're finding solutions because that is what business is about. Whether there's something missing out there and you go out and create it and you're delivering a solution, or there is a solution already out there that is in existence, but you're going to go out and refine it and come up with, let's say, a 2.0 or a 5.0 or 10.0 version of that solution out there. This constant flow of energy moving. Here are some reality checks about silent leaders. They are not going to be the loudest people in the room. They're not going to be the one engaging in the shouting matches, fighting through their ego to be seen, to be heard, to mark their territory. All of the ones that I've seen, I would say majority of them were not passive aggressive. I believe the passive aggressive part comes from who they are and has less to do with their role in their occupation. Because keep in mind who we are, a good portion of it, if not all of it, comes with us wherever we go and how we engage in different parts of our life. They focus on quality and not quantity. They're not going to come up with a list of X number of priorities in order for them to feel important. They're going to be very keen on applying discernment to know what priorities they should narrow down and which ones they should divide and conquer. They also understand that it's not a one-man show. It takes a village, and that whatever solutions you pick, you're going to continue refining them. They don't treat themselves or the work that they're doing as the end all. There's a tad bit of humility there where they look at it as, hey, there were many different ways of doing it, but based on what we need to do, this is how we're going to start off. And then you just pivot as needed. And as I mentioned earlier on, silent leaders, they hold more weight towards actions than words. Niceness is about lip service. Goodness speaks through action. These leaders are more keen on being good. And finally, they're not afraid to speak up. They know when to speak up. So when they speak, people do pay attention. There is a lot of value in silence. For those who are mature enough to understand communication, this is silence that brings value to the table, that contributes value to the environment. It is not any form of passive aggressiveness or emotional abuse or projecting silent treatment. This has to do with effectively leveraging your presence, your mind, your body, and of course, you bring your heart. Unfortunately, you bring your heart and make sure that your heart is in the things that you love doing day to day. And if your heart is not present, then it doesn't hurt to question how can I be more engaged in my life day to day. I'm sure some people are thinking, well, Sasha, I have to go to work. I don't like my job, but it pays the bills. I get it. That is a very relatable reality that people can associate with. But I'm talking about if you're going to be doing that day after day, and it's not a chapter of life, it's not a season of life, it's not something that you're doing just to get through, like crossing a bridge, and you sign up for it for 20 years, then did you shut your heart down? Don't get me wrong, there are moments and seasons of life where you deal with emergencies and you do what you need to do, and it's not time to just sit down and just get lost in the clouds and start thinking about what your heart wants. I get that. I'm talking about once you are past the point of taking care of your day-to-day needs, are you signing up for something that you're going to be doing for the next 30 years? It's good because your brain tells you it's good. Your body is writing checks that it can't cash, and your heart just feels you forget that you even have a heart. I'm talking about those extreme situations where you start out taking on a commitment and it's serving its purpose, but time flies, time flies. You don't have time to think about it. And then you go, okay, how did I spend 15 years working here? And you got everything you needed. But if you had gone those 10 extra minutes a day or that extra mile to help yourself outside of those professional hours, you'd never know. Small changes add up. They could just change the direction of where and how the kite will fly, and it will benefit you. It's just food for thought. Keep in mind, I live in the real world, so I could relate. And finally, the ultimate benefit that you reap from silent leadership has to do with you. You're adding value in your life. You're adding value in the life of those that you care about. And you're bringing that value wherever you go, whether you work online, you work out of the office. You don't even have to be part of the business world. You could be a day-to-day civilian going out doing great work, whether you're contributing as an artist, a writer, an athlete, whether you're an academic. There are so many different ways of contributing positively, and all of those changes start from within you. And these changes are irrelevant of how old you are, where you're located, how your life started out with, what resources you have or you don't have. Because the greatest resource that you have, and I've been saying this since the day Sasha Talks came out, is the gift of free will. If you are fortunate and blessed to be of sound mind and health, you can make a decision. And the making the decision doesn't cost anything. The part that really does demand an investment is that we commit and we honor that commitment day to day. And as we continue moving forward, small things add up to great things, and small bad decisions eventually snowball into things that become unmanageable. If you are willing to change your condition, there's always a way of working through it. The catch is you have to make that decision. No one else can. And that is the power that you hold. I'm going to leave you on that note. Thank you for joining me. If you have any thoughts, any topic you would like me to cover, go to sashatalks.com, click on the contact page, and say hello. I look forward to hearing from you. Until next time, be good, be safe, be blessed.